recording now for the replay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Excellent. All right, here we go. So I am Michelle Rober on So Luminous Radio with my dear friend and soul sister who's about to save my soul tonight, Joni Eisenderm, Joni's White Light Healing. Welcome, Joni, to So Luminous Radio and our monthly, well, this is the first of the new year, January 2017.
That's right. Happy New Year. Thanks for having me on in 2017.
Okay. So tonight's theme is going to be focused on how to navigate and smooth out, use the energy of chaos. That is definitely the theme for tonight. So for those of you who are here listening with us, I'm just going to, if you haven't, or if you're new to the show or you haven't met Joni before, Joni, why don't you briefly introduce yourself and,
sure.
and just give people a little eye into what you do.
Sure. Well, for those of you who are listening for the first time, my name is Joni Eisenger, and I'm originally from Long Island, New York, and I'm now in Central New Jersey. I was a clinical social worker in New York City for 10 years, and I was conventionally trained, and I did not believe in anything outside the observable and reportable. So I was very involved with diagnoses and working closely with psychiatrists. During my lifetime, I had chemical sensitivities and ultimately became very ill in around 2003. I could only go into homes and other buildings with a mask on. I had what's called multiple chemical sensitivities, or MCS. I ultimately became homebound. I couldn't open up windows or doors. I, at one point, could only eat two foods. One point, I couldn't even drink water, and I couldn't take any medicines whatsoever. I was going to die, as Rosanna Dana would say. And an energy medicine chiropractor came on my path, and he began healing me. And I began reading spiritual books, as per his suggestion, which I would never have done. I stuck close to the fold of what was not energy or spiritually related. And as I began reading, I began becoming gifted with abilities. I had energy shooting out of my hands. I was doing hands-on healing. I began channeling departed ones and pets. I began seeing into bodies. I began doing automatic writing, jumping into other lifetimes. Other people call them past lives. And I began doing readings for people where any question was on the table. I began talking to pets, doing healings on pets, pregnant women, looking into bodies and doing healings on fetuses, and became very psychedelic. My world did a 180-degree turn, and now I do this professionally. So you can find me at joniswhitelighthealing.com. I have a new website that's up. And I do phone and Skype for those who aren't local to Central New Jersey. And I love what I do. Absolutely love what I do. So I'm here on Michelle's show. I thank you so much for having me as a guest. I'm here to assist people with awakening, with validating, clarifying, finding peace, finding meaning, giving answers, explanations to things that don't make sense. Or you might know, you might have that knowing, but I might come in and through the guidance that I bring in, those of the highest of Christ-like consciousness, you'll get the validation, the I knew it, and here it is. The other side is just confirming it. So that's a bit about me.
Awesome. So have you, Joni, what's been going on in your world lately before we take a caller here, that if you can speak to the chaos that I'm experiencing lately, and I know that others have, a lot of my clients have, it's been a crazy, crazy week. Have you had any experience like that this week?
I wouldn't necessarily say this week, as I would say the past many months. It's been culminating. There's a crescendo. People are waking up, and there are a lot of truths that are coming out, and there are a lot of paradigms that will be shifting. And as people are awakening, they are becoming very uneasy and unsettled. Then there are other people who are not wanting to awaken, and it seems there is a separation of those who are maintaining their ground and not wanting to see and know, and those that are in fact uncovering and peeling and realizing that what their reality is in fact something different. So also with that, and I refuse to go political because I don't, but with the vote and the election and the inauguration, the mass consciousness is in a tizzy. So if people are feeling energies that might not be their own, they might be picking up on a more global sensation, that of the world, and an uneasiness. There is a lot of anger. There's rage that's coming up, and that people are not they're not necessarily managing it well. I very strongly urge people to go to a place of love. This is a great opportunity for people to unite rather than divide. When we take a stance and we say us versus them, we actually are separating from the oneness. So this time is actually a gift. It is a blessing from on high. It is divinely ordered. Mind you, I'm not getting political. This isn't about sides. When something you are faced with appears formidable, ask more of it. Find out more about it. And ask yourself, well, if everything is divinely ordered, what can I learn from this personally? How do I feel? How can I remain in a state of grace? How can I be at peace? How can I love others as thyself? So in terms of the energies, Michelle, this past week is inauguration week, but I've been feeling, and my channel friends, the healers and such, we've been tracking this for years, and it's like contractions, and we're birthing a new reality, and people, again, are making decisions regarding whether they wish to unite in love or whether they wish to divide. Find the gems that are hidden, because as they say, the truth is hidden in plain sight. And when you open your eyes and you see the gifts, the blessings before you, you will transcend and you will come to a state of peace, and you might even laugh.
I hope so.
Yes. And there are many... God. There are many articles that are being written about this from a spiritual point of view, and they will offer peace without taking sides. They are apolitical. They're about archetypes and shadow aspects and going inside, and that if anger and rage is surfacing now, and blame and pointing fingers and you versus me and us versus them, these are the ugly parts of self that need to be healed. It's an enormous opportunity for healing. And if you find yourself getting angry and separating from the oneness and judging and blaming, that's not unity consciousness.
Right.
Look up unity consciousness. That's my spiel.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Mm. And okay. I didn't drink the Kool-Aid, folks.
You didn't. Don't do it.
I don't drink the Kool-Aid. I don't have rose-colored glasses on, folks. This is from a spiritual perspective.
I had a couple of people ask me some questions today, but I think we're going to go right to a live caller who's been on the line since the very beginning. Rules here are, if you're new to our show, is that if you want to be called on, you want to press *2 to raise your hand. So if you would like the gift of a reading or healing from Joni right now, you can press *2 to raise your hand. And then I will see your hand raised, and I'll unmute you so you can talk. okay? If you don't want to raise your hand, I'm assuming that you do not want a healing or a reading with Joni. So if I see you on the line, I cannot call on you unless you invite me in by pressing star 2 to raise your hand. Okay. Shy. A little shy. Okay. All right. So one of the questions that I had was from one of my female clients, and she was having an awful lot of trouble just with her kids and just feeling like she was totally out of control, and every time she tried to discipline the kids, things just weren't or haven't been working. And so she wanted me to ask you what she's missing here, because she's read the book, she's, you know, doing the duty, and she just feels like kind of breaking down and crying a lot.
Okay, so hopefully she's listening. If not, she'll listen to the tape, or maybe you'll be speaking with her. So she needs to be sitting down now. So it would be a very good idea if she can sit. That's the first thing. And rest. Her back hurts. Feels like her back is tense. And if she can drink water, sipping water, that's very important. Seems there's another lifetime. She's a school teacher. She's getting the business. There are some kids that are giving her the business, and she's tongue-tied. Her tongue is all in knots. It is just very, I want to almost say paralyzed. She doesn't quite know what to do. She's in a state of unknowing. She doesn't quite know how she is going to handle the situation. And the kids truly take advantage of her. She's blaming herself over and over again. What a fool I am. I don't know how to handle this group. I'm not very good in public, but I'm a very smart person. It feels like it could be even out on the prairie in a little schoolhouse. It feels remote. And it's a distance from town. So she didn't even feel she had much support from the elders in the community. She has karma with herself. She didn't necessarily blame the kids because she was so compassionate. She was saying, well, these kids are being kids, and if I were more of an authority figure, this wouldn't be going on. This is what kids would naturally do. They would test me, but I couldn't handle them. What a fool I am. So I'm going to do this with her higher self, and hopefully she will listen to this tape and then she'll do this as well. But I'm working with her, and I will say to her, forgive yourself. There we go. She's releasing a lot. There's a lot of suffering. It's around managing and controlling the people, trying to get a handle on what people do and understanding the concept of manipulation. The next step, forgive them. There we go. There are a few of these kids. Like those knuckleheads. That's what she's saying from a loving place. Ask for their forgiveness. Thank God for this life lesson. She would do well working with lime and pomegranate. Those two are sensational for her, and they would cut through quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Now, in this lifetime, the direct correlation, the bleed-through, is that it's happening again, is that she chose a lifetime where there would be discord and that she would have difficulty handling, managing the children. And that she wants to do a good job. She's trying her best. It's just she's having difficulty. A parenting group might help. I feel like there's a scolding. I don't know if she's doing a scolding or I'm not quite sure if she's doing a timeout or if it's even working. I'm not sure if anything is quite working. But she needs to get some guidance professionally because there are a few things that she needs to fine-tune regarding setting up boundaries and limits and then the punishments, whatever they're going to be, the consequences for the actions. Karma is released across all time and space. Let's do that. We'll take all the lifetimes where she couldn't get a handle on things. She couldn't quite control herself. Therefore, she wasn't able to do this in other lifetimes where she couldn't necessarily manage others and keep them contained. And then she ended up feeling very resigned and feeling very inadequate, and I think that's how she feels right now. So there are about 10 lifetimes that we've found across time and space, other lifetimes where she's having this similar issue, where either she's having difficulty controlling and managing herself and or others. And we ball them all up, and she says, I forgive myself. There you go. I forgive you all. Please, all of you, forgive me. There we go. There's a big release. Her chest was heavy, very sad. That was her heart, heart chakra, the energy center about love and self-love. Thank God for these life lessons. Yeah, she's also blaming herself. So I don't know if in this lifetime she's blaming herself for not being able to control her children, but she's going to have to stop doing that because the blame is a negative energy and it moves her down in spirit. It pushes down her ability. By blaming herself, she ends up being less than. And a person who feels less than doesn't have the ability. It's just a circular downward spiral. So that's what I would say to your client. I hope that she listens and gives feedback so the next time we find out, you know, where she was with this.
Thank you for that, Joni. That was awesome.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, just a reminder. Okay, we have a hand up here, and so I'm going to unmute you. You are the phone is from Phoenix, Arizona, and the last four digits of your number are 3630. You are on the air.
Hi, Dad. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question.
What is your name?
It's Christine.
Hi.
Hi. It's my first time calling.
Excellent. Yes, what is your question?
I'm just curious if you're able to tell what the significance is of a specific person being in and out of your life. You know, this person that has come in and out of my life, and I wanted to know if I had, like, a past life with him or something.
Okay, so you said him, so it's a man. And is this romantic or is this platonic?
Well, we did have something, but it's no longer there.
I'm sorry, it's what? You said there was you did have something, but it's...
All right, but it's, you know, we're not...
You're not together anymore.
Right.
Okay, I'll go in and see. There are a few lifetimes with this man. I think there are two others, and it's very interesting. In one of them, like you're holding hands, and then you both realize that you're holding hands. No, you yes, you're holding hands, and then you realize that you're holding his hand, and then you drop your hand and go, oh no, stop. But you put it on him that he held your hand. But you willingly held his hand. Once you realized that you were involved with him, once you became aware, you had that recognition that this was real, that something was going on between the two of you, you rejected it. And you didn't want it, but you didn't want to own that you had been that it had been mutual, that you, in fact, had been as equally interested as he. So you put it on him as if he had started something and you weren't really interested or ready. There's something about this lifetime with this man. I don't know if there's like a push-pull or a love-hate or an approach avoidance almost, that you want to be near him, yet there's sometimes almost like a revulsion. Does that make sense?
I think so.
So it's not so blatant. Would you say this is kind of low key? It's an undercurrent thing. This is not overt. It's not like you're openly talking to your girlfriends and saying, I love him, I hate him. there are nuances to this. So I'm going to go into the other lifetime. That was one lifetime. Now I'm going to find the other one. The two of you are fishing and you're on a boat. He's putting on the your friends, but you want him to do it a certain way, and he's putting the bait on the hook incorrectly. And you're getting frustrated. He's making a mess, absolute mess, and you kick him off the boat. You're like, I can't do this with you. What are you doing? You're not doing this correctly. So in that lifetime, there's something about you're wanting him to do it your way, and that he's a more relaxed version of you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But there's something where there's a discord. It's not hooking up correctly, because despite you're both having a similar energy, a similar wavelength, talk about playing with the metaphor of hook, right? You have to hook the bait on the hook. There's not a hook in enough with this relationship in this lifetime for it to work. Therefore, you say, you know what? You're not hooking the bait correctly, therefore we're not hooking together. And again, you're pushing him. One time you drop your hand, right? You say, no, stop holding my hand. And this time you're pushing him. You don't push him into the water. You're like, just get off the boat. It could have been that you hadn't even left the shore. You were at the dock. And like, you know what, man? Just go. You're making a mess on my boat. Just go. There's karma here. It seems that in these two lifetimes, you're seeing his worth. You're pulling him in, but there's a part of you that knows it's not a match, and then you don't want to be with him. Does that make sense?
I think so.
I think you love him. Is that so? Or is this a heart? Because my heart got all mushy. I went into your heart, honey, about this guy. It got all mushed out.
So that's interesting. So I guess we did have a past.
You have had two past lives, and it's karma. In this lifetime, do you feel that you love this man? Are you trying to get it right and trying to make it work in a certain way and wishing? Like that maybe you could just kind of somehow make it work?
You know, it's really strange, but he's not the, I don't know how to explain this, but, you know, someone that I'm looking for, you know, would have to have all these criteria. And yet
yeah.
He doesn't have it, but I feel like there's something that is drawing me to it, and it's very frustrating because, I don't know how to explain it. You know, it's just like, you know, if it was the normal me, he would not be the person.
Right,
somehow, yes. I am, like, drawn to him, and I don't want to be.
Okay, let's do this. And you were clear. I understand. Let's do this. We're going to clear up the karma from the two other lifetimes. Karma is imbalance. And the imbalance is there's something about your wanting, regarding this soul, you're wishing that he were different. You're wishing he were a certain way, and then you realize this, and there's a push away. And you go to your passing, you're blaming him, like, I wish that you were different. And then there's a little bit of self-chastisement. You're blaming yourself a little bit, like, I should have known. And that's karma towards self. That's unforgiveness in both directions. Let's clear it up. I think that's going to help you. I think that that's going to free up the energy ties that you have with him. It might make it easier. It actually could poof and then you have a better sense of who he is and who you are and what you're looking for and where he fits into your life. So the first thing you would do is you would say, and you could do this for this lifetime too if you think that there's any unforgiveness. You say inside, I forgive myself. You're doing it. Do you have any water by you?
No, not where I'm at right now.
So after this, just sip water. It'll help release things. The next step is forgive him. You say, I forgive you. You are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're doing it in a state of grace. It's beautiful. Ask for his forgiveness. Please forgive me for having had unforgiveness towards you. And he is. He's holding you and blessing you. He's very calm. And the last part is thank God for these life lessons. Mm-hmm. That should do it. You've been frustrated. I see your hair. Does your hair sometimes not?
Yes.
It does. You know why?
Why?
Because you've been tied up in knots. Your hair is responding to your internal situation. As you clear this, and I believe this is clearing, I see the smoke rising and it's dissipating, your hair is going to get back again. It's going to come down. It's not going to tangle as much because you've been tangled. See also how you tangle yourself. See if you can simplify things. Lay things out better. This isn't just with relationships. Just see if you can just make things easier. I think you're complicating things, and that also is a knotting. That's a tangling. And see, you could ask yourself, why do I tangle things up? Why do I make this a little bit more complicated? Because I don't have to. If I choose the other path, which is easier, I'll feel better. I'll have a greater sense of knowing what to do and how to proceed with things. So I don't think that he's the one. I think he's a friend. He's in your soul group. You travel with him in different lifetimes. He knows you well, and you play this part. It's genuine interest. It's genuine. But it seems that the two of you are different as souls. And he's someone that you can trust enough to ask him to play this part in this lifetime. Can you be almost but not? Can you be just almost but not for me? Because I need to, you know, face these things. I need to take a look at how I reject things or how I judge things or how I pigeonhole things or how I try and make things fit that don't work. How I complicate things and stay with something that isn't for my highest good, and then I make myself a wreck and then my hair knots. And that is your work in this lifetime. You can also, after this call, you could go to the sink. Are you at home or someplace where there's a sink?
Yes.
Yeah. So then you put your hands under water, get some soap, and then you wash your hands ceremonially, like, I'm cleansing myself, I'm cleaning myself of this, like they call them holy ablutions. It's like a blessed washing, a blessed bathing, an ablution, A-B-L-U-T-I-O-N, and that you're just washing your hands of this. Let the other side take care of you. You can ask for assistance as well. And then also, do you live where there's a square block? Or is it just a road and it's long and there's no block to walk around?
What do you mean?
Well, like in a city, you could walk around the block versus there are people who just live off of a dirt road and you just keep going down one road straight and you can't make a turn.
No, you can turn their block.
A turn. So when you want to, take a walk around the block. That's very ceremonial, and also the other side sometimes brings that in, and that's also like for new beginnings. Some in the Jewish religion, after you've sat Shiva for, I think it's 8 days, I don't remember, it's the mourning period after someone has died, then you're supposed to take a walk around the block. And to take a walk around the block is for anyone at any time. It's when you're ready to start anew, start fresh. and it's ceremonial again. So you've gone through some patches, and to walk around the block is a refresh for you. So what do you make of this? Do you have any response to this? What makes sense? What doesn't?
I think it does in some ways. I was just curious because, you know, it initially it just didn't make sense to me, you know, how this person came into my life and, you know, kind of, I feel like he kind of turned my life upside down.
Mm-hmm. That's the gift. Whenever you get socked like that, that's a gift. It's either pre-birth planned. This was pre-birth planned. You planned to meet and have this happen. That was before you came into this lifetime.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Someone told me a while back, 95% of our present-day experiences are other lifetime-related. So you were right on target and wondering, well, this is significant enough. There has to be something more. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you called.
Yeah, I just thought it was very, you know, very strange that somebody that normally is not within, you know, your criteria that just came up and just totally, you know, kind of turned you upside down.
That's right. That's right. That's where a little bell goes off. That's usually a sign there's something significant here. Yes. Usually we know the person from another lifetime.
Well, thank you for, you know, giving me that insight. It was very interesting.
You're welcome. I hope it gave you clarity. And it'll be interesting to see now that you release that, the karma is balanced. It'll be interesting to see whether maybe later or tomorrow in the next week or month things start fading and it becomes easier for you to think about where he fits into your life.
Mm-hmm. I hope
good
so.
Luck.
Thank you.
Kristen, can I ask you how did you find out about Joni's call-in show tonight?
You know, I was on one of the I stumbled across on one of the podcasts, and then I went into Joni's site, and I saw that there was a show, you know, today, and so I just kind of.
Oh, that's good. That's what happens when you get a new website that has a calendar on it.
It is just helpful for us to know.
So you also know, Michelle, I got to tell you that I've had an old website for over 3.5 years, and it was an HTML site. It was static. You couldn't put anything on it. And I launched the new website January 1st, and thank you for sharing that the new website with the calendar on it is what did this. So that's fantastic.
Yeah,
it was
really glad I stumbled across.
Oh, I'm glad.
Well, spread the good word because Joni is amazing. And
thank you.
I know that she has touched you on a number of different levels tonight just by listening and kind of feeling the energy of your responses. So know that whatever she's done with you tonight and for you is going to resonate throughout the rest of your life because that's the way it works. So thank you so much for visiting us on Soul Luminous Radio. Thank you so much for calling in, and please come back again.
And enjoy your hair changing.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
You.
You're welcome. Bye, honey pie.
Bye,
Kristen. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Wow, that was awesome, Joni.
Thanks, honey pie. I love this.
Oh, my God, that was great. And that was like a far reach. She's way out there.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Very, very good question. And I never know what the other side will say. I have no idea. I just go in blank slate. Bring it through, and it's always an educated. I get educated every time. That's why I love doing radio, because everyone can hear this.
I know. I love radio, too. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. You're not distracted by the – and that's why I love my phone coaching, because I'm not neither person is distracted by the other's looks or smell or expressions or anything. You just tap into the energy of what's going on. So speaking of that, I have a very urgent question that had come in earlier today, and it's one of my many, many clients, and she's very, very frustrated with her inability to lose weight. And she's lost weight and gained weight. She's very diligent, beautiful woman. I mean, just very well educated, has, kind of checked off all the boxes nutrition-wise and exercise-wise, and has had a number of health issues, none that are absolutely devastating, but ones that are really threaded throughout her life. And she texted me today, and she was so frustrated and so down in her life.
Oh, I got why, honey pie.
Okay, good.
So, do you think she's listening now?
No, I don't.
Okay, so then she'll listen in.
Yep.
Do you think you'll take notes for her, or do you think she'll listen in?
You know what? I'm glad you said that. I'm going to take notes for her because sometimes
okay,
she's
please,
a little
because
afraid.
Okay, please, because I don't know. I had to ask that. The other side is had me ask. Okay, so there's another lifetime. She's in Egypt. It's an old lifetime. She's a man. There's civil unrest. She's taken. She's hidden. I see there's killing going on, and then she ultimately, she gets out. There's a lot of death and destruction. She, I think, loses an arm. I see a chariot. There's a lot of confusion. Oh, it's... mayhem. There's a lot of blood loss. And she ultimately passes. And in this lifetime, so many things went wrong. It's as if she peeled away, peeling away of the layers of all the structures that were there in place, and they all disintegrated. And that in this lifetime, it's very, very difficult for her to achieve this, to every time she tries to create a structure or be in balance, it crumbles. In that lifetime, there was such a decimation of spirit, and she became so unable to follow through. Nothing could be done. Nothing could be accomplished because all the different structures just collapsed, that the bleed-through effect is so strong here. She's trying to do it again. There is karma. She's trying to complete this by erecting something that will just stand up, but it's not working. And in this case, it's to balance her body and make it feel better, and it's not happening because there's this destruction. So I'm going to work with her higher self. Forgive yourself. Ah, oh, very sad. I think that in that lifetime she was a woman and she was also raped. So there's also a body piece here. The violation of mind, body, spirit. Forgive him, forgive her, forgive everyone. Very sad. She might be peeing a lot, and that's very good. Releasing a lot that does not serve her. Ask for everyone's forgiveness. They're placing her in a grave. She wasn't even buried properly, so they're putting her in a rightful place, a good, solid structure. There's the word structure. That's good. Thank God for this life lesson. Every now and then, if she can have an apple or pieces of apple, that is good. Meat also sometimes helps her. There's iron and there's density in the meat. I believe this would be beef.
Yes, because she's anemic.
Yes, there you go. Now I'm going to go into this light. I'm going to go through all lifetimes across all time and space. We release the suffering and the tension, the discord, discombobulation, where the enemy is attacking her, constant attack, where her energy is diffuse, where it's even hard to find, where she's so minuscule, it's hard to even pick up. She's vibrating at such a low level that it's hard to feel the pulse. And anything else that would contribute to this soul's difficulty, losing weight, maintaining balance, feeling good, eating healthfully, maintaining a happy spirit. And we ball them all up, and she says, I forgive myself. There we go. I forgive you all. Please, all of you, forgive me. Thank God for these life lessons. There are so many lifetimes. There are at least 100 that are significant. There are about 1,000 if we throw 900 more in. There are about 1,000 lifetimes of pain and suffering, which has made it very, very difficult in this lifetime for her to achieve her goals. So, yes, if she's been wondering, WTF, here I am with Michelle, this incredible life coach who makes sense to me. She makes my heart sing. I hear her. Everything that she says makes complete sense. She's my godsend. Yet what the heck is wrong? Why? Am I sabotaging myself? Do I hate myself? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with her. There were many, many energies, many karmic imbalances, about 1,000, okay? That's formidable, that were preventing her from moving to a place of a satisfactory peace. This is going to change. I see mint. She can smell mint. She doesn't have to take it in. She doesn't have to chew mint leaves, chew gum. It doesn't have to be mint toothpaste. It doesn't have to be mint tea. If she gets a bottle of peppermint oil and then puts it like a dot on her tongue every once in a while and smells it like smelling salts, just to get a hit of mint, that will help her very much. She needs to rub her feet. She needs to get some body cream and do some nice work with smushing her thumbs and her fingers into her feet to release some of the tension. If she goes for reflexology, she can release a lot of pain. If she doesn't want to do reflexology, she could get a foot massage, yet the reflexologist will read the map of the foot and will tell her where she has things locked in her body, and she will get a health release. Not to say that foot massages don't. A reflexologist is an energy healer that will locate the organs that are being affected when there's that touch. Salt is not her friend. She has difficulty with salt absorption. She needs to know that, but she might already. So no heavy-handed with salt. And mind you, I'm not a doctor. Please see your healthcare professional. And she should pray. Praying, not should, I take that back. It is advisable, no shoulds. It is advisable to pray. She just does a direct connect with spirit, and she expresses gratitude, whatever she wants. She asks for assistance, just to be at peace and know that they are there and there is love, and they are loving her up good. And that's what they say.
She does pray. She prays a lot, but a lot of what you said makes a lot of sense.
I'm so glad. I'm rooting for her. Mm-hmm. I think there'll be changes over the next week. I think she's going to start tasting. I'm not sure what's going to be happening. They say something in her mouth. It's going to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Joni. So, did you want to ask something? We have a reluctant visitor here.
Yes.
But, are you sure? Okay. I'm shy tonight for once in his first whole lifetime.
Okay.
All right. So, there is a woman who is a friend of Patrick's mom, and she has cancer,
mm-hmm.
and she's been sick for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and Sue is very upset and kind of already mourning her loss while she's alive.
Mm-hmm.
So
Sue is the woman who was sick.
No,
this is Patrick's mom.
Yeah, Sue is Patrick's mom.
Okay,
Claire,
and she's already mourning before the woman has passed.
Yes.
Okay. And is there a question?
I just want you to kind of feel your way into that situation to see, because there is no amount of coaxing or trying to connect on that level. She's Sue, Pat's mom, is already kind of, she's already suffering. Claire, actually, it's happy. and she seems okay with the horrible stuff that she's been through, and she's
mm-hmm.
still alive and kind of
she's
quite
accepting
all
it.
So, yeah. And so, and that's more of kind of a feeling we get
mm-hmm.
than anything. So, I'm just asking you to dive in there and see what comes up.
Well, is this more about Sue and about her mourning before someone's passed, or is it more about Claire and that she's, like, what is there a problem?
Well, I guess emotionally what I'm feeling from this situation is that we're concerned that Sue is mourning her death prematurely. And Claire's just gotten out of the hospital, so, her status
okay.
is still her status.
So what I get is that Sue is doing this because if she does this now, she'll be able to handle it better, because if she does this upon the passing, she wouldn't. This is like a psychological defense mechanism that she's doing in order to get ready. I see it's preparation on her part, a complete defense mechanism. If she didn't do it, she couldn't handle this situation. It's almost that she has to do this.
All right, so I just got total body goosebumps, which is a total confirmation of what.
Okay. This is where another person in 3D might say, oh, that's not good. She's not dead yet. She should enjoy her time with her friends. She should have her be alive. She should. There are no shoulds, first of all. So every person operates differently. And even a defense mechanism isn't a bad thing. It just is. We can't judge anything. We just have to step back and look at, well, why are people doing things? Is it healthy to mourn someone's death before they've passed? Not necessarily, because they're still living and you're missing out on their time alive. And if you're mourning their death, there's an energy frequency that you're almost killing them in a way. You're dying them. But it
right.
doesn't mean they're bad, and you can't tell a person not to do that if they can't handle the concept. Everyone is spiritually evolved at a different place. So you can't say to a person, don't do that, if they can't do it any other way. So we honor what people do. We can maybe say something. We can say, hey, mom, you know, she hasn't passed yet. Have you thought of, like, putting that on a shelf? Oh, no. And then we know if we're going to say something to someone, and then if it's a yes, when and how we're going to say it. But sometimes we don't even bother saying anything because we have an idea they won't take it in. Why even do it then if we assess using our discernment that they aren't at a place to hear it? They will take it
right.
as an affront. They will be angry
right.
at you if you make a suggestion where they're not at that place. So we honor her defense, her preparation of her dear friend's death, and we pray for her peace as well. This is if she's that pained where she's already pre-deceasing her friend, you know, by doing this, then it must be beyond painful, that she can't even handle the concept. She's dead. So when it finally happens, it's not necessarily as big a shock. I'm getting from a spiritual point of view.
She was just released from the hospital, and she thinks that, well, my mom thinks that she's released just to go home and do what she needs to do, which is exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, who's guaranteed to say that you're actually going to pass away? Nobody. I mean, something could happen. You don't know.
Right. But there are people that operate differently. So if you see things differently and she sees things differently, you know her better than most of us. And so if you think that she can't hear you, and this is the way, she could be a worrywart. She could be a fear person where everything is negative. She could be all of the above. So if that's the way she operates, and she's always been doing this, and she doesn't necessarily take your suggestions, it's best to let her be. Because she'll get in a thing with you, and then she will be angry at you, and then you'll be frustrated with her. And your job is to accept that this is the way she operates. So it's either a defense mechanism, or she's a negative person, a fearful negative person, and everything is victim and doom gloom. And whatever the case is, if that's where she's at, and she doesn't take people's suggestions to see things maybe a little more positively, she needs to go through her soul. It's perfectly exactly where it's supposed to be. That there's nothing broken. She's exactly where she's supposed to be. Her soul is experiencing this because it needs to. And at some point, maybe she will either be more positive, be less fearful, where she doesn't need to go to that place of fear and have that defense. And then she could even accept death and dying and know that her friend will just be on the other side, just right through the veil.
Exactly.
And so if you feel her do something that you need to take a look at, well, can I release myself of this so I'm not upset, and just allow her to just let her be. And if she does hear you, if she is open to hearing you, then you have the opportunity to possibly say something.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
your
to
use
right.
Your discernment.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope this assisted.
It's actually right down to a T, believe me.
I'm glad.
No,
you can be freed up. If you're suffering because of her, then you could be freed up that you don't even have to do a darn thing at all.
I'm not. I just try to tell her. You know,
she's in pain. And when people are in pain and fear, they often do things that are, they don't appear balanced. When people are not at that place of fear and they're in a state of peace and of love and hope and faith, oftentimes there's more balance, and they're not using defense mechanisms because they can face reality and they know that everything is okay. I'll send good energy her way, some good healing energy for her, some nice soft music energy.
Mm.
I think that'll help her, soft music.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, Joni. So we're wrapping up here.
We sure are.
Wow.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God. Pregnant with information and insight.
This is a good way to start the new year.
Mm.
May we all heal. May it only get better.
Yeah, and there's a difference. Why don't we, in closing, Joni, why don't you explain the difference between healing and being broken? Because in my estimation, no one's broken.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
Well, I was a Gestalt therapist. So a Gestalt in Gestalt therapy, and for those of you, what did you just say? That's G-E-S as in Sam, T-A-L-T, Gestalt, in Gestalt therapy. The belief is that we are whole. We are born whole. We have all the knowing. We are whole. And then things happen in our lives from early on where we get alienated from our parts. And that we feel broken, we feel alienated and have these pockets. But it's a matter of coming back to finding those parts, finding, coming back in touch with the knowing. It does mean we would have to, in fact, find those traumas and then identify them, experience them, and release them. Not necessarily full-blown scream fests, but at least get to that place where we identify and then release what we have hidden. And shaman do it, the Native American and South American and Indian shaman. They call that soul retrieval, finding the alienated parts. I do that where I jump into other lifetimes and I help the person find the other places where there's karmic imbalance. There are shadows, shadow aspects. Jung talked about those shadows of ours, the archetypes that are hidden. Doesn't mean that they're lost, and it doesn't mean that this is bad. Nothing is bad. It just is. No judgment. Mm. So we are, healing is moving from the place where we're discombobulated and fragmented to bringing back all those parts, to finding the places. It could be mind, body, spirit, anywhere within these levels where we
It would be from like, well, you said fragmentation, so it's essentially coming, like, associating the pieces of the whole to kind of bring them back together and form that matrix. And it's more about, and so chaos is kind of energy flowing around in a bunch of different directions with no real purpose, but there is a pattern within there somewhere. And so if we can direct it towards what we want, which would be our healing or return to wholeness or oneness, and that would be awesome. Are you familiar with Dr. Jean Houston?
No.
Okay. She's amazing. She is, I think she's in her 80s, but what an eloquent, amazing woman. And just this is to really just kind of cement what you just said. She did this whole talk on the Wizard of Oz and how Dorothy encountered, you know, through the Cowardly Lion and the Scarecrow and the Tin Man, the disenfranchised parts of herself.
Mm.
And all she wanted to do was return home or return back to whole or oneness where love was.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can look at that as kind of an illustration, it's very graphic. So I think that helps us all to understand, because, you know, the Scarecrow was the knowledge and he didn't feel good about himself. The Lion was, you know, the courage, and the Tin Man was the heart. And so we all have those parts and pieces that make us one.
Yes.
And if we can find our way through everyone who's listening, whether you're here with us in the present live moment or on the replay, it doesn't matter. It's all the same wonderful energy. Everything that Joni says to anyone who called in or any of the questions tonight, it's all of us trying to get the messages to return back to that flow, that oneness, and kind of take the energy of the chaos and redirect it to home, right?
Beautiful. Wonderfully said.
Yeah. Mm. All right, Joni, as always, I love you, and thank you so much.
I love you, too.
Being here, and just, you know, the love is, it's oozing out of this broadcast.
I just love this. May people call in each month and get a piece of healing.
Thank you, Joni.
You're welcome.
All right, everyone, thank you for coming. Thanks for your questions. Thanks for participating. And for those of you who are listening in on the replay, I know that you're getting something from this. All right. We'll see you next month. Thanks,
Joni. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.